For 80 years, Fiorenzato has brought commercial coffee grinders to cafes around the world, and now they're bringing that technology right to your kitchen. Introducing the Fiorenzato all-ground, all-purpose home grinder. This compact grinder fits perfectly underneath kitchen cabinets and grinds for espresso, filter coffee, mocha pot, and more. With an easy-to-use touchscreen and 64mm flat burrs, you'll be grinding like a pro in no time. Get 20% off an all-ground at Fiorenzato-USA.com with the code COFFEEPODCAST. You're listening to the Coffee Podcast. I'm Jesse Hartman. And this is Propaganda. Behind Propaganda is Jason Petty. He's a poet, political activist, husband, father, academic, and MC. Some closest to him refer to him as Ernest Slimmingway.
What up, man? That's crazy how the Ernest Slimmingway stuck, man. That's my old boy Jay Beats made it up when we dropped the book. He was like, man, call that boy Ernest Slimmingway. It's like, yes.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, what's your favorite brewing method right now?
Man, woo, that's always a good question. Of course, my like brand dedication would go to like, oh man, it's the Porigami. It's the Mir Porigami, you know? That's my favorite for travel. At home, man, I like the Rock little thing from the UK, the Rock.
Oh, I don't even think I've seen this yet.
Bro, it's let me go find it. It's over here.
Oh yeah, let's see it.
Yeah, the pod. Yeah, this audio program. Let me go grab it. It's their K7, what is it called? But they have a dripper, man. Let me get my earphones back on. Yeah, they got a dripper that I adore. Like, it's got a little thing on the inside there.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
What is it? K70 something. But either way, it's from Rock. Okay. They usually make the manual espresso things.
Okay, cool.
But they got a dripper that it's got a little cone in the middle that like kind of protrudes up.
Yeah.
So like, it's gonna by default evenly disperse,
yeah,
you know, your pour. It's pretty dope, man.
Yeah, so like in a V60 you kind of over extract maybe.
Yes,
because of the shape, so they're trying to overcome that.
Yeah,
okay. Cool.
Exactly. That's kind of what I like doing at home.
That's super cool. Yeah, I've been doing the Clever lately and it's been disappointing me. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I'm having this stall out with my brews lately, you know what?
Bro,
I mean,
when yes,
it just like stops dripping and you're like, what is going on?
What did I do? I'll be on that the St. Anthony industry, the G70.
Oh, yeah.
I like their thing, too, because that 23-degree angle is so different. I love it, man.
Oh, that's cool.
And it just looks
dope. Yeah,
yeah.
That's fun. Before we talk about coffee, let's hear about your story a little bit. Where are you born?
Yeah, man.
What's kind of your upbringing like? And let's hear some of your history.
Yeah, dude. Los Angeles native, one of the few, born and raised from the sort of east side of South Central originally, which doesn't mean anything to anyone else that's not from here, but essentially it's sort of the borderlands between the Black and the like Latino and sort of Filipino, the various diaspora of people of the equator. You know, I kind of lived right on the borderlands of that. And I moved 20 minutes east to area out here called the San Gabriel Valley, which was, again, almost 100%, you know, Mexican and Filipino. I spent most of my time there. I went to high school in the suburbs in the area called Inland Empire. And I think what's so interesting about LA is like, even our suburbs are also remarkably diverse. You know, that's where I met Sanaa Lavangia and Sipaj Dhaliwal, you know, so it's just a very global city, you know, area to grow up in. Yeah, 80s baby, you know, 90s kid and all that you would think, you know, that comes with being in Los Angeles as an 80s baby and a 90s kid, you know, all those things that come with that. You know, I fell in love with hip hop pretty young, and hip hop kind of like really opened a world for me that I think a lot of people would not have expected. You know, hip hop made it okay for me to, you know, hop buses to Dogtown to go hang out with the skaters. You know what I mean? Because they liked underground rap, you know, so, you know, just the real countercultural stuff, you know, and made me read books, you know, and just be interested in other stuff. Yeah, man. And so I spent most of my childhood, you know, on a skateboard with a backpack full of markers and spray paint, and, you know, and trying to freestyle rap, you know.
Okay.
And so, yeah, man, I had, like, despite, you know, the struggles of being, you know, from a working class kind of lower income, you know, family, that through my lifetime kind of gained a lot of, like, my parents went back to school while I was, you know, around. So, you know, they kept getting better jobs. And like I said, I went to high school in the burbs. I feel like I got to run the gambit, man. I like as hard as it was, you know, and, you know, dodging bullets and hiding under desks and all that. Like, it was such a great, I had a great childhood.
Yeah. You talk a lot about this in your music.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I brought it up. Your life really does shine through your lyrics. And one of the reasons I wanted to ask you about, your history, your past. Also, this is a weird question in order to make this the coffee podcast episode. Did you drink coffee when you were young, or
man,
what was the coffee scene like?
Yeah, like anybody, coffee was a grown-up drink, you know?
Right.
And I thought, you know, I remember for some reason I had in my brain that, okay, when you turn 15, you could drink coffee. Like, I don't know. maybe my daddy said, I don't know, somebody said that. And I was like, okay, when I'm 15, I'm drinking coffee. Like I said, like, since I was in, again, a mostly Latino space, you know, it was like, that's what the men did. They, you know, you worked, they were up at the crack of dawn on their way to work. You know what I'm saying? You had your cup of coffee with you. Hmm. And I just took that on, you know what I'm saying? Because it meant like, okay, it's time to get out. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So there's a little donut shop around the way on the way to school. I'll stop, get myself. And of course, like, it's candy, you know, the coffee you drink when you're, it's candy, you know?
Yeah. Liquid candy. Yeah.
Totally. You know, so. So, yeah, as far as, like, the coffee scene, I mean, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, I was a kid, you know? And for us, it was like, man, you dip, like I said, it was a donut shop, a 7-Eleven, you dip in there, grab you, you know, coffee, hazelnut, you know, and just, you know, you do it, and you get on with it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Just a little bit of contrast. I think the first time I started drinking coffee on my own, I'd hit up the local gas station. They had, like, Dunkin' or something.
Yeah, yeah.
They were brewing. Yeah, it's funny when you're young. I don't know, the perceptions of when you can start to drink coffee are very cultural or very hyper-local culturally.
Are you from the Northeast?
No, I'm from Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, okay, never mind. I thought that could be Dunkin'. It gets a Dunkin'.
Yeah, it's random that they serve Dunkin', honestly. It's super random. You already talked about some hip-hop and its influence on you. I wasn't sure, did poetry hit you first? Did hip-hop, was it the same time?
No, it was hip-hop. You know, hardcore, backpack, battle rapper, true school, breakdance, graffiti, all four elements, like just hip-hop. And I think a lot of that had to do with where we were. It's like you pull into Venice Beach and it's like guys with, you know, boom boxes on their shoulders and the other dude spinning on his head. You're like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to do that.
Awesome.
But my original window was graffiti. Mm. That's like, you know, your coming of age time. Like, for some reason, you just got to pick a subculture to be a part of. You know, so you can have somewhere to sit during lunch, you know, and for me, it was graffiti, you know, and that sort of opened the door to all those other things. Poetry wasn't until college. And that was really because, like most origin stories, a girl, you know, she was an upperclassman. It's crazy. She teaches, like, she knows this story, you know, my wife knows, everybody knows the story, but like she's a professor at SF State now, but she was an upperclassman when I was in college, you know, Filipino girl, and was just like, she knew I rapped, and like, you know, and the style of rap I did, you know, and do was very wordy, very content driven. And she was like, you'd probably be a good poet. You should come to this open mic. And since she said it, I was like, oh, hell yeah. You know, and then I did it, you know, and then fell in love with the whole thing, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, nah, hip hop was first.
I feel like your style, I'm not very versed in hip hop. Like, when I think hip hop, I typically go to like Jurassic 5 is probably the band I think of.
Yeah.
Which I found out, actually, they started, hopefully I don't get this wrong, they started as a poetry club or something like this. Do you know
the
story?
At the poetry club.
Oh, at the poetry club.
Okay. So there was a place called the Poetry Lounge. So there's a scene out there, and there, you know, the like, without getting into too much of history, I'm probably going to get a lot of it wrong because these dudes are older than I am, but they were basically the guys that I was like showing fake ID to come see. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it was like there was a bunch of like really cool like weekly or monthly events out in LA during that time. You know, you had this thing called Elements, you had this thing called Unity, Project Bloat, you had just all these super cool events. And then one of them was a thing called the Poetry Lounge. So each of us, you know, it was a different night each week. Like there was a time where you could be out, you know, five nights a week at a different part of town, kind of seeing some of the same people and just developing your craft. So like that, as they kind of linked together, whether it was Charlie, you know, Charlie Tuna, but Cut Chemist comes from like the hip hop stuff. So he comes from the Good Life. And anyway, they kind of like link and log together and sort of became Jurassic Five. But yeah, one of the places they united at was at the Poetry Lounge.
Oh, I got it. Okay. Yeah. Very cool. And so timeline wise, you were going to hip hop shows.
Oh, bro. Yeah.
When you were younger and.
Yeah. You know, my sister, luckily for me, I'm like the youngest of all my cousins, of all my siblings. Like I'm at the very end. So, you know, they were 5, 6, 7, you know, some of them 15 years older than I am. So it was very easy for me to tell my mom, yeah, I'm going to Aunt Stephanie's house. You know what I mean? Right. You know, I'm going to Aunt Dorothy's house. You know what I mean? And you could be with your cousins, you know, as they're, you know, cruising the city in their lowriders, you know what I'm saying? And you're getting exposed to the culture. So with that, I like got to experience a generation above me while being very young. So like, yeah, my sister got me into a lot of stuff. And then eventually you just start knowing people and being sort of this like, why does this little 12-year-old know all these songs? Well, it's like, well, because my sister's 17. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
So those things kind of help. So yeah, like.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So when you're, you know, so I was 14, 15, you know, me and my buddies and a couple of my cousins, you know, getting into some of the, when you could find an all ages open mic, you know, we were there. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. So when did you start hitting open mics and start to try out your stuff in front of people?
16, okay. You know, was like the first time I was like, all right. And at the time, like LA, you had to freestyle, you know, which okay. I could do when it was like lunch tables among us, you know what I'm saying? But when you hit an open mic, you know what I mean? These guys are like, you know, little do you know that like, oh, the guy that went on before you. Yeah, that's Will I Am. You know what I'm saying? But you don't know that, you know, because he's, you know, he's 19, he's 20. Like, right. He's not Will I Am yet. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so like.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. So, but he's incredible. You know what I'm saying? So like in those scenarios, you're like, oh man, I better write some verses down to be able to like memorize them so I can, you know, do good. But I really hit my stride like at 20, 21, where I was like, all right. Every night, you know, now you can get in, you gotta, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm old enough, I can get in, I got my own car now, you know what I'm saying? And like, you ain't gotta worry about rides, you know, so we was all over town. And at that point, it's like, if you gotta get up to go to work tomorrow, that's on you, like, you know, you're gonna stay up all night, you're gonna stay up all night, you know? So,
yeah.
19, 20 was like, all right, every night, I'm out.
Okay. And I have this noted here. You were 24 when you debuted your first talent with the hip hop collective Tunnel Rats. Yep.
Yeah.
So that was years later.
Yeah.
So can you walk us through what was it like from you had hit your stride around 20 and now you're in the Tunnel Rats at age 24, around 24?
Yeah. So I had, you know, kind of met them earlier. They were this super crew of dudes that I was aware of, you know what I mean? And had this sort of like spiritual tone to them. Like the thing about the LA scene is like you're expected to have substance, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If you wasn't gangster rapping, you know what I mean? So like there was a lot of like, you know, Nation of Islam collectives, there was these Rasta collectives, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
These dudes were Christians, you know, so like, you know, we grew up in the church, you know what I'm saying? So like, but I met them at these like battles, you know what I mean, at these battle rap scenes and stuff like that. So I would be watching them and, you know, I'm a kid and hearing, you know, different references that I would know are Bible references, but they're so clever, you know what I mean? And it's such, and it's in context of like, I'm about to murder this rapper, you know what I'm saying? So like, I was like, oh yeah, that's what I want to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So when we finally got down, you know, I opened for him at some point and, you know, it was kind of the same thing. It was just at like some club, you know, out here, you know, very different than like where you were like in Florida, where it was like, we're not a Bible Belt, you know, we're not a conservative. So there's no churches, you know, like we didn't have, it wasn't like that. You know what I'm saying? So like, so I didn't feel like there was this such thing as like Christian rap. You know what I mean? It was like, nah, it was those dudes, you know what I'm saying? So we got out, you know what I mean? And they kind of took me in and taught me a lot about like, you know, how to be a professional artist rather than just like a spitter, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, so yeah, and then they, you know, they did a record on me, you know, I was off to the races.
Yeah, so that really was kind of the taking off point as a professional hip hop artist, you would say?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because it's like, I kind of feel like, I'm Dave Grohl in a lot of ways, like I had two starts, you know what I mean? So there was like, you know, like his Nirvana time and then the Foo Fighters time. So like the Tunnel Rat era was like my first sort of takeoff that there was many times that I thought, oh, this is it, I'm out of here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then since again, I was at the sort of the tail end of that group, again, being like one of the youngest members, as they kind of started like transitioning in life, you know, I was hitting my stride. So there was a solo career coming. And then when the solo career took off, that was, you know, when we started doing like the Humble Bee stuff and stuff like that. And that's what actually made me a full-time artist, you know, because before that I was teaching high school full-time, you know what I'm saying, while I was still doing music. Mm-hmm. After that kind of started dying down sort of around the 2011, 2012 was when like my solo career took off and I was able to be like, yeah, I can do this full-time.
Wow. I didn't realize you and Bartholomew Jones had that in common. You know Bartholomew.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, that y'all both were teachers.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm actually drinking his, him and Black Him and Lim, they did a collab. I'm actually drinking it right now, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Okay, I know we were tackling a lot of history.
Yeah,
we're just getting to know you a little bit. In the next episode, we'll talk more about the coffee stuff. But shortly after you released your own album, it was called Out of Nowhere in 2003. Am I getting this right?
Yeah, dude, your Wikipedia is doing well so far. You know what I'm saying?
I couldn't find that on any streaming services.
I think it's on Spotify. I think it's on Spotify only. Like, I don't, like, there's a few things from that, from those, like, early years that, like, I wasn't smart enough or knew about, like, owning masters and, like,
I didn't know
what to do. And streaming wasn't a thing then, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, there's still hard copies out there somewhere, but like,
yeah, they are. They're on sale on Amazon. I saw them.
Yeah, that's crazy. There's one of those records, either a record or a book, like my self-titled like poetry book or self-published poetry book. It's going for like $2,000 on Amazon.
What?
It's crazy. I was like, hey, we should re-release that thing, dude. Or maybe that's I really buy cool. it and sell it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you even have a copy yourself of the poetry book?
I got one, you know, like that one. I was like, dang, man. I got the digital version, but I need a hard copy, man. $2,000. Yeah, good Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. Mm-hmm. So all this history of hip hop and art, you mentioned some graffiti that you did back in the day. Does that stick around with you or you still dabble in that?
Yeah, I'm obviously not climbing on the side of freeways anymore, but like, you know, I mean, like I'm a grown man with a mortgage, you know, but I definitely like still enjoy and will. I still travel with like a bunch of Sharpies, you know, and get down what I need to, you know what I'm saying? It's still fun. You know, now that I have a daughter who got the drawing bug, you know, she definitely got bit with the bug, which is super cool to see. That like because of that, like I'm still always drawing, you know what I'm saying?
Okay,
it's just
cool.
Super fun.
In this episode, we spent some time behind the scenes getting to know Jason Petty, aka Prop. In our next episode, we'll dive a little deeper into his coffee business, Terraform Cold Brew. In the meantime, be sure to check out his music, specifically relevant to this discussion being Terraform the Sky, Terraform the Soil, Terraform the People, and Terraform the Possibility, all linked in the episode notes. The song that you heard was from Terraform the Soil. It's titled Sky is an Old Friend, featuring Vanessa Hill. All of this and more linked in the episode notes. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, and until next time, happy brewing.